This is Pastor Emery. The United States of America is undoubtedly the most important single nation to rise to world power in the 2,000 years of what we call the Christian era. Certainly, it is the most important Christian nation. Yet literally millions of Christians who will insist that the Holy Bible foretells all events of the future, such as the rapture, the Antichrist, the tribulations, and so on, will insist that same Holy Bible is totally silent about this greatest Christian nation of all history, the United States of America. Is it true that God Almighty foretold all the history of the earth, but that He forgot to include the United States of America? Stay tuned for broadcast number one on America's Roots.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. During the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. In Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 46, God Almighty made some strong claims that He not only could foretell the future, but that He would tell men of future events before they came to pass in order to prove to them that He was God. Listen to His claims. Isaiah 42, verses 8 and 9. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Those are only two of many passages in Isaiah where God Almighty claims He foretells the future. Then through the prophet Amos, the Almighty made this claim and promise. Amos 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants the prophets. That seems quite plainly to state that God will reveal what He will do through His prophets before He does it. In any case, we would quite plainly deny the omnipotence of God if we were to say He did not know of the things which would happen on earth during the centuries past and in our present age. Now listen to this. 20 years ago, a pastor, W.B. Record, wrote a tiny article in which he asked Christians several questions. We reprinted his article on one page of a 35-page booklet I will offer free to my radio listeners during the series. First, I am going to read the first part of that article. It is titled, Looking Westward. Quote, standing on the western shores of Europe 500 years ago, you could not see nor visualize a great continent that lay to the west, only what seemed to be an endless stretch of the Atlantic Ocean. Yet there was a great continent out there to the west. Now may I ask you, did Jesus Christ know of this North American continent? Your only answer could be, yes, of course He did. Let me ask another question. Did Jesus Christ know that a great nation would be established there? Of course He did. Still another question, please. Did Jesus Christ know this great nation yet to be born would be Christian from its beginning? The answer, of course He knew that, for He Himself is the source and author of the faith we call Christian. Now one more question. Is it possible that this great nation known to Jesus Christ was never mentioned, indicated, or foretold in the Bible? End of quote. There is more to that article, and it is reprinted in one of the books that we have, and I will be offering that later in this series. Most Christians who believe that Jesus Christ was God incarnate will admit that Jesus must have known about America, Yet most of those same Christians will turn right around and say, but God didn't say anything about America in the Bible. Most of their ministers, of course, say the same thing. Even those ministers who claim everything that happens to the Jews is foretold in the Bible, and who will admit the Jewish nation in Palestine could not even survive without the United States of America, will insist that this great friend of the Jews, this literal protector of the Jewish nation, this United States, is not in the Bible. I just read in the Bible itself where Almighty God said He could and would foretell the future. In fact, that He would not do anything except that He would tell of it through His prophets first. Is it possible that the United States of America, which was Christian from its beginning, which I will prove in this series, and which nation has had and still has more effect on the religion of Jesus Christ in the end of this age than any other nation, is it possible this nation is never mentioned, indicated, or foretold in the prophecies of the Holy Word? Someone is wrong here. Either God is wrong when He claims He would tell us the future through His prophets, or the ministers are wrong when they say God Almighty did not tell His prophets about America. Let us search both history and the Bible to see if we can find out who is wrong. Before we begin that search of history and the Bible, I will give my address where you can write for our free packet of literature on this subject. I will describe the literature at the end of this 30-minute broadcast. Write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Just ask for the America packet. Before we turn to the Bible itself, I will discuss or quote from history, historical records. I stated several different ways in the first few minutes of this broadcast that America was a Christian nation from its beginnings. Many in America, especially the so-called atheists and communists, will argue against that. They will insist that America is not now Christian, nor ever was a Christian nation. They will say, yes, it is true that some of the early settlers were Christian, but that does not make America a Christian nation. And even American Christians, who would like to think of America as a Christian nation, do not know enough about America's founding or its early history to refute them. If you are one of those Americans who would like to think that America is a Christian nation, stay tuned as I show you why Pastor Emery always closes this broadcast with the phrase, and pray for Christian America. I will give you proof of the Christian foundation of this nation, which so many say is neither Christian, nor did God prophesy about it in the Bible. For you see, it is important that we know whether America began as a Christian nation or not. For if America is just another heathen nation, then it would be understandable if God did not mention it in His prophecies. However, if America was Christian from its beginnings, then we should question further that book which is the book of the religion of Jesus Christ as to why it did not mention such a nation as America, a nation which has more of the followers of Jesus Christ living in it than any other nation of the world. First, we will look for clues in some of the early colonial charters, which are some of the founding documents of this great nation. By charter, I mean that document written up in the home country of the colonists who came to North America. The charter would have granted to them, usually from the king, certain lands in the New World, established the general rules and laws by which the colony would be guided, and which charter also stated the purpose or purposes for which the colony was being founded. Most of these charters for North America were from England, of course, but other countries such as Holland and Sweden also began settlements in North America in the 1600s. The first of these charters was granted by King James I of England on April 10, 1606, for the possession and settlement of Virginia Colony, part of the lands which had been claimed by England. The charter spoke of the reasons for beginning this settlement as including, quote, desires for the furtherance of so noble a work which may, by the providence of Almighty God, hereafter tend to the glory of His Divine Majesty in propagating the Christian religion to such people as yet live in ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God, and may in time bring the infidels and savages living in those parts to human civility and to a settled and quiet government. End of quote. I must point out here that the documents from which I will be reading are neither church nor missionary documents. These are civil or political documents. They are written and signed by the civil authority, in this case the King of England, not signed by some church authority. Yet they incorporate words and aims which we today would ascribe to Christian churches, such as the aim, quote, in propagating of the Christian religion, end of quote. Virginia was granted a second charter 3 years later on May 23, 1609. In giving guidelines for the future inhabitants, it stated it would be necessary for all who shall, quote, inhabit within the said precinct of Virginia aforesaid, to determine to live together in the fear and true worship of Almighty God, Christian peace, and civil quietness. In the closing section of this second charter, we read, quote, and lastly, because the principal effect which we can desire or expect of this action is the conversion and reduction of the people in those parts under the true worship of God and the Christian religion, end of quote. So the principal effect, their words, not mine, the principal effect they desired to come from the establishment of the colony of Virginia was the conversion of the inhabitants to the Christian religion. Yes, that is in a founding, civil, not church, document of colonial America. The name of one of the founding documents of America is familiar to most Americans, although its words may not be. That is the Mayflower Compact, which was not, in this case, signed by the king, but was instead an agreement among the passengers on the Mayflower, which was drawn up and signed by them before they went ashore at Plymouth. The reason they drew up their own compact was that the one they had from the king was for another part of the Virginia colony far to the south. They had landed too far north, and because of the lateness of the season, and because of strong winds from the south, and an uncooperative ship captain, they decided to stay there rather than trying to get further south. They had no legal document for a colony in Massachusetts, so they drew one up themselves in order to have some contract among themselves as to their aims, purposes, and reasons for being. I will read the Mayflower Compact in its entirety. Later in this series, I will be offering a pamphlet which will have it in print. Here is the Mayflower Compact. Quote, in the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, and so forth, have undertaken, for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, and honor of our King and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid, and by virtue hereof to enact, constitute, and frame with just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, under which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness whereof we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, A.D. 1620. In this compact, signed under such strange and marvelous conditions, a handful of English citizens, practically marooned on the shore of a desolate wilderness at the beginning of winter, said they were combining themselves into a body politic. In other words, they were establishing a government, yes, a government, quote, for the better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. And what were those ends aforesaid? Why, quote, the advancement of the Christian faith. That is what they wrote, that they had come to plant this colony and were forming a government for the advancement of the Christian faith. There is much more, and I will continue, but I should interject a question here. Can Christians who believe that the God of the Christian Bible is not only almighty, but that he is all-knowing, can such Christians really believe that God forgot to mention that there would come a time when a nation, yes, a nation, would be founded on such scriptural reasons as this? It is nothing short of amazing to me how tens of thousands of ministers in America, including America's most famous radio and TV evangelists, can spend years enthusiastically explaining how God Almighty foretold the establishment of the tiny Jewish state in Palestine, a nation which forbids citizenship to anyone who is a Christian, while they either know nothing of or are not interested in the Christian foundation of our own nation, America. I think, after you listen to this radio series for a few weeks, that you just may find that amazing too. Let us go on. I said that Plymouth Colony did have an official charter granted by the king. It is quite long, as most of them are, since they often gave land boundaries, established the governor, set specific lines of authority back to England, and so on. But the purpose of the Plymouth Colony is given in just a few words, quote, in hope thereby to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty, end of quote. That was the Plymouth Colony's reason for being, to enlarge the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. There are many more English compacts and charters, but the earliest non-English one was granted by Gustavus Adolphus, the great Christian king of Sweden, on December 21, 1624, just 4 years after the pilgrims landed at Plymouth. This charter was for a Swedish colony in what is now Delaware. In explaining why such a colonial venture should be undertaken in a land so far from Sweden, a wild and almost unknown land, the charter states, quote, in the first place, God's glory, which above all must be especially cared for and promoted, can be increased thereby. His blessed word and holy gospel, planted and spread among all kinds of people, and many thousand souls be brought to the true knowledge and understanding of God, end of quote. If I had not told you what that was, and had just read it to you, you would have thought I was reading some Baptist missionary letter soliciting funds to go to far lands and save souls. But no, it is not a church document at all, much less a modern one. It is a civil document from the king of a European nation, written and signed over 3 1/2 centuries ago, giving the reason why he is sending his citizens to colonize and inhabit what we now know became the United States of America. Another foundation stone of the greatest Christian nation of all human history. A foundation stone concealed now by the rubble of lies and misinformation which have been heaped upon America's beginnings. That rubble conceals those Christian foundation stones to the extent that people who live in America in the 20th century know little or nothing of this voluminous evidence that America was founded upon Jesus Christ and the Christian religion. On March 4, 1644, Charles I of England granted a charter for the colony of Massachusetts Bay. This was separate from Plymouth Colony, which declared that one of the purposes of the colonists themselves and the royal intention, meaning the king's purpose, was that the good life and orderly conversation of the colonists might bring the natives, meaning the Indians, quote, to the knowledge and obedience of the only true God and the Savior of mankind and the Christian faith, end of quote. William Penn, who founded Pennsylvania, stated part of his purpose in planting a colony across the ocean was, quote, to reduce the savage natives by just and gentle manners to the love of civil society and the Christian religion, end of quote. The Royal Charter for the Maryland Colony stated many of the same things. Then at the very end of the charter, it closed with a proviso or a command that no interpretation of the charter should be allowed where, quote, God's holy and true Christian religion might in any wise suffer, end of quote. Can you imagine our present politicians enacting a law which stated that the law itself must not be interpreted in any way which would hurt the Christian religion. Instead of that, today our so-called elected representatives and our unappointed rulers enact all sorts of legislation which restricts and cripples the Christian religion. They even go so far now as to make it illegal to offer a Christian prayer in the schools in which our children are taught. In the first schools in America, the Holy Bible, the book of the Christian religion, was the major textbook. It was removed by official decree two generations ago. However, what is the case today does not change our roots in Jesus Christ, the author of our Christian faith. I have time today for one more, the Rhode Island Charter. In the section which set up the form of civil administration of the colony, in other words, in the section on its government, the Rhode Island Charter stated the government was needed so that the people might, quote, be in a better capacity to defend themselves in their rights and liberties against all the enemies of the Christian faith, end of quote. Isn't that something? The Maryland Charter commanded that no interpretation of the charter was to be allowed that would inhibit or injure the Christian religion. The Rhode Island Colonial Charter went even further and stated the very reason for its government was so the citizens could defend themselves against the enemies of Christianity. There is more in the Rhode Island Colonial Charter, and I have more of the charters and compacts of other American colonies to comment on. However, I believe that in just the brief glimpse I have given you today, you can see there is no question but that the legal roots of these American colonies are in Jesus Christ and the Christian religion. You will find no nonsense in these charters welcoming the followers of all the religions of the world. Their faith in and commitment to the Christian religion was such that they wrote that faith and commitment into the very title deeds of the colonies themselves, their charters and land grants from the king. Although we think today of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution as being the founding documents of the United States, those are more like the roof of the building rather than the foundation. The real foundation, the real roots of America, are in her title deeds, the colonial charters and compacts, and those title deeds give Jesus Christ and the Christian religion as the very reason for America's beginning. This is Pastor Emery. God willing, I will continue this study of America's history and the Bible next week. Meanwhile, write to me for our free packet of literature on this subject. Ask for the America Packet. This free packet will have several items in it bearing on America's foundations. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. The announcer will repeat that in just a moment. When you write, ask for the America packet. That packet is free. However, if you would like a detailed research book on this whole subject of where we came from, I have a 185-page book titled Tracing Our Ancestors, which you may have for an offering of only $5 to this radio ministry. The America packet is free. However, please send an offering of $5 for the 185-page book, Tracing Our Ancestors. And when you write, please print your name and address, so my mailroom staff will be sure and send the literature to the correct address. And after my announcer gives my address again, please listen on for the station announcer and give me the call letters of the station over which you hear America's Promise. That will help us monitor our radio broadcasts. Listen now for my announcer. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at the same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast, and thank you for listening.